Shepherds came to worship him. Wise men came from afar, but the light that they were seeking was more than just a star. He was heaven's gift sent down to earth, Mary's little boy, wrapped there in swaddling clothes was peace, love, and joy. There's never been a greater gift. God gave his only son, to whom extended mercy and grace to everyone. Be born within a stall was to die for me on Calvary, the greatest Christmas tree of all. From a stable in Bethlehem to a cross upon a hill, crying, "Father, soldiers there nailed him there. No beauty could they see, yet an ornament of love they were hanging on that tree. No ribbons, no angel top, just a thorny crown, and the gift to all the world was his blood flowing down. From a stable in Bethlehem to a cross upon a hill, crying, "Father, please not my will, but thine to fulfill."
Joanna, I appreciate that. Thank you, Ms. Evans, for playing for us tonight. We're going to have it's the Evans takeover night, and so we're going to continue that. And Brother, Ms. Evans, we're glad to have you here, and all the kids are here as well, and having a crazy good Christmas time together, I'm sure. And, of course, many of you, most of you, know our Brother, Ms. Evans, but served here for, I believe it was nearly 30 years, and faithfully served the Lord and sacrificed working in our schools and finances in different areas. And so we're thankful for the Evans and their sacrifice and their investment in our church, in our area, in our lives as well. So looking forward to hearing Brother Evans preach. It's our last message for the year. So if it doesn't go good, we'll blame it on him. If it goes well, we'll praise the Lord for that. So get your Bibles ready and let's listen to preaching tonight.
Thank you, Brother Evans. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me say first and foremost, thank you so much, church. I've been so kind to Miss Evans and myself when we did pull the plug to move. It was many years coming. And I was sitting there thinking, I remember the last message I preached from this pulpit was saying goodbye, and I couldn't even look over there where my grandkids were. That's the hardest thing, is no grandkids. But you got to keep in mind, we moved with a purpose. Wanda's parents were getting elderly. They took care of us as a first starting out family. They were so good to us, and we just felt like it was right for us to take care of them, which we are. I don't know, many of you know, my father-in-law passed away this last summer. And now Wanda's mom, 92 years old, she's dancing around in her bathroom, falling and stuff. But she's doing fine. But boy, ain't no way I'm going to make 92. But we're there. And that was one of the main reasons to go back. We love y'all so much. Let me tell you, when Miss Evans looked out and see you in your place, you don't know what that does to us and for us to see you faithfully in your place. You have a legacy of Pastor Johnson down here and the work he did for the many years getting this church started, and then Pastor Becker taking over. But you've got to understand, you are Shasta Baptist Church. You are. I'm going to switch over. Where's your sign? Y'all lose that? You're the church. And let me tell you something. To see a crowd like this, I know we have a lot sick and so forth, but, man, this is great stuff. And you've got something good going on here. This is a blessing. Next, I wanted to mention what Miss Evans and I are doing. We decided, the Lord led us to a new start, a church that just started. Matter of fact, when we first got there and started, we didn't even have Wednesday night services. I said, we didn't even have Wednesday. Okay. But eventually got it, and it's growing. It's grown from about 7 people, and now we're running about 30. So we got a new start, and I'm helping where I can when they need me to help. We have projects going on. We've got a modular. We're in a modular. Matter of fact, in our church, it's a double-wide modular. From here to the first row is like the pulpit to the last row at our church. That's how small it is. Okay? And we're out soul winning every week. They go. I don't go. No, I do. I do. Let me tell you, it's not flat like here in the valley. Those people built homes in hilly subdivisions with driveways that go right up to the PA booth, and then you got to walk another flight of stairs to get to their front door about the same height. I had to tell people this summer, I said, wait a minute, I need to catch my breath before I can talk to them about Jesus, you know. But it's a great church. Sam Carnes is the pastor. Matter of fact, the Gordons, Mike and Vicki Gordon, that's the Browns, a lot of you know them. They're in our church. It was a great addition to our church when they joined our church. So I'm just working and doing what I can. They don't let me work on the building projects anymore because I'm killing myself. I did bobcat work, and I was feeling froggy when I got out of a bobcat. And instead of backing out of the cage and stepping back down in the bucket, I decided I'd step forward. I missed the landing and I tore up my whole shin. I was in the emergency room for a while getting stitches. That was great. Then we got that modular and you have to walk up a ladder to get to the into it because the stairs aren't in yet. And hit my hand. You can still see the bruise. And so they don't even ask me to come help on the work projects anymore. But they were wise to use Mrs. Evans' talent there. And it's good people, a good church, a soul-winning church. And you think, oh, there's churches everywhere in Georgia. Yes, there are, but they're not good churches. I don't mean to be mean about that, but they're not soul-winning, independent, fundamental King James Bible-preaching churches there. I think we're the only church in our county that goes out knocking on doors. I know of two other, but they're in other counties. So what you got going on here, Shasta Baptist Church, is great. And it's such a blessing. Miss Evans and I are encouraged so much when we come and see you here in your faces. Okay, take your Bibles. I did not know this message I chose, there was going to be the Lord's Supper. So whoever put that on the schedule, that's their fault if we go a few minutes long here. Pastor Johnson said he's leaving if you're more than 20 minutes, so he's gone. Turn to the book of Job, if you would, the book of Job, chapter 5 tonight. I'm going to talk to you on the subject tonight, what to do about bad news or troubles. What to do about troubles that will come into your life. And if you not have troubles or problems right now, I guarantee in the new year you're going to. And you're going to see from the text what I read, they're going to come. You know? You're just nicely driving down the road and there's a bubblegum machine that goes off behind of you and guy pulls up and says, you're going too fast. I'm talking about Pastor Johnson's testimony. And troubles come. They come in all types of shapes. Job chapter 5, are you there? Stand to your feet tonight if you would. Let's stretch one more time in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God. Chapter 5, we're going to read two verses, chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. Troubles, bad situations. What do we do with them? Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Holy Spirit, I need your power. I need you tonight. And these folks, if they're going to get anything, they're going to need you too. So, Lord, help us tonight as the speaker and the listener to get what you have for us and do what we need to do in Christ's name. Amen. We have the story here or the lesson or whatever you want to call it. There's no stories in the Bible. You may be seated. Did I not say you may be seated? See, and that's another reason I retired, by the way. Some of you see it, sit down. You're disobedient. All right, here we go. Come on, let me get done with this. We have Eliphaz's. This is one of Job's friends that came to comfort him. And what we have is just took a few verses, a couple of verses, and we'll take a few more of Eliphaz's response to Job's situation. He gives biblical truths that I just read you. But the trouble is, he didn't apply them in the right sense. He didn't know what Job was going through. Matter of fact, Job didn't even know what he was going in. Job never did find out until he got to heaven, as far as we know. But here we have his response, which are biblical principles that can help us in our life. But you need to understand and take the lesson of Job's friend Eliphaz, is a lot of times we do this just as he did. We talk before we know what in the world we're saying. We just say things. And in this case, he's just saying things, though they're biblical truths. And the biblical principles I want to give you tonight about trouble come from these two text verses. And the first principle is, determine if the trouble is now, or is the trouble going to be in the future? Do you know most people worry themselves to death by worrying about things they don't even know are going to happen, but we worry about? Who's a worry wart? Come on, be honest. Sure. A lot. Well, that's not very many. Of course, the teenagers say, huh? Well, yeah. Okay. But here, turn over. Now, hold you a place. Get your little dingy, little holy, little dingy thing, and put it in the book of Job, would you, right there? We're going to come back to there, but I'd like for you to turn with a few verses. I'll read a few. If you can't get there real quick, just pretend like you know where you are, and I'll read. But turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, a very familiar verse. You know this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. If you don't know it, or you should know it, that word careful means anxious. It means worried. It says be worried for nothing. Don't worry about things, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you know we worry about so many things that we should not be worrying about? We don't know if it's going to happen in our life, but we worry about it. And I believe that's what we're going to see in Job here, in Job's case. It caused the devil to know where to attack Job. Yeah, I'll show you in just a second. Let me make this statement first. Nobody fears the past. Nobody fears the past. We only fear the future. And that's the truth. The past is gone. Brother Becker preached a little bit about it this morning. Matthew 6:34, I think he used this verse. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things, the problems of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, the problems thereof. We need to make sure that we're not worrying about things in our life that we have no control over. We've got to take these things and apply this truth, this principle in our life, and understand and think about it. Okay, the lawnmower broke, the refrigerator broke, I got the ticket, the speeding ticket, whatever. That's in the present. Don't worry about it in the future. We've got to get this matter in our hearts and our lives and understand from the text that we see that that troubles don't just come out of the dust. They just don't spring out of the ground. But there are troubles that man faces. We don't need to cause more trouble in our own life by worrying about things we can't control. Principle number two, understand whatever that trouble is, it's good for us. Oh, that's a tough one to swallow. Romans 8:28, you don't need to turn there. I've got it marked, but let me read it to you. And we know that some things work together for good. You needed to turn, didn't you? Is that what it said? It said how many things? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Turn over to James, though. I want you to see this. The book of James. Go back towards your book of Revelation in the back of your Bible. The book of James. Look at chapter 1. Look at verse 2. And we're going to read three verses. In James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. My brethren, are you there? My brethren, count it all sadness when you fall into divers temptations. Yes or no? Yes or no? No. Count it all what? Joy. When you fall into divers, that doesn't mean scuba diving. That means different. When you fall into different, we just read in Job that Eliphaz said, man that is born of woman that here, he's going to have troubles in his life. And we're going to fall into different temptations. That word temptations means testings or trials. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, the word patience here isn't our modern day English word for patient. This is a King James, God's word, a stronger word than the patience we use for patience in our modern vocabulary. It means endurance and consistency. That's what we need. We need in our life to be able to endure testings, trials, troubles that come into our life. We need to be consistent with, you know what I see in church ministry? I've been in churches large, small, for many, many years. But you know what? Somebody has an issue in their family and they drop out of church. I got to get this straight. No, we got to have consistency to be able to work through these troubles and trials that come into our life. Look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. That's mature and entire, wanting nothing. See, these things, trials, troubles that come into our life. And let me say this, a trouble is just what it means. It means something that's not your regular routine. Anything that's bad, something that's not right, something that's a trouble. Wouldn't you agree? It's not a good thing. Oh boy, trouble's here. Nobody says that. But right here in James, it says, count it all joy when these things come into your life. Understand whatever it is, God says it's good for us if it comes into our life. Hold, you got your little dinghy, the little thing there. Go back to Job chapter 5. Look at verse 17. Are you there? Job 5:17. Behold, what's the next word? Happy is the man whom God... Whoa, I don't like that. I know our kids don't like that. Son, you'll understand this is for your own good. One day you'll, no, I don't understand it. Well, that's the way we are with God, aren't we? Troubles come into our life, problems. We fail a test, we lose a job, we run into some health problem. The Bible says right there, happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening, the testing of the Almighty. Listen to me, we've got to understand and get it in our mind that whatever happens in our life, it's good for us. God loves us, and whatever he allows to come into our life is for our best. Next principle, determine if the trouble is caused by you or God. Look at that verse 17 again. In this case, it says, happy is the man whom God correcteth. He needed to correct this happy man. That means that trouble came because he caused the trouble. There are times like Job in our book of Job didn't do anything wrong. Job was an upright man. There was, as far as we can tell from the description that God gives us, he really didn't have sin like maybe I do or you do. Or he was really a good guy. We've got to determine when these troubles that we count as trouble, not just bad luck. I don't believe in luck. Luck is for the lost. Unless you're playing golf and then you've got to have a lot of luck. But that's another story. We won't go there. Everything that our God allows to come into our life goes through his hands. Do we understand that? No, you know, there was a drunk guy that hit my car. God could have stopped that drunk man from hitting your car. I'm sorry, but that's the absolute truth. So we need to decide when troubles come into our life, is God bringing in as a testing, or is God bringing it in because we're doing something wrong? We've got to determine whether we're Jonah or Job. We got to determine whether we're... You know what, though? When most... And this is the truth. Because I think this way and you think this way. All God's children think this way. Most of us think we're Job. Now, this can't be happening because I've done something. I'm a good, upright man. No, the Bible says, for all have. And you know, God cares enough to get into our life and punish us or bring trouble into our life to try to get us to wake up and be chastened and change whatever we're doing, to do something or take something away out of our life. The first thing, or one thing you got to do when trouble, something out of the ordinary comes into your life, you need to decide, hey, did I cause this? Or is God just testing me? You've got to be honest with yourself, though. You know, any good father, and it should be this way, I don't know if it's always this way, but any good father that would chasten or punish their child will tell them why he's punishing them. Would you not agree? Yes or no? Shake my head. Not a good father would yank up a child and just start beating on them without them knowing why they're being beaten. Okay? We've got a loving father that loves us. And when he allows trouble to come into our life, I believe he's also will tell us or let us know. First thing that pops into your head, that's it. Oh, no, that can't be it. It's just a stroke of bad luck. No. I'm Job. I'm righteous. I'm not. No. This point won't work unless we're honest in figuring out whether or not we brought it on ourselves because of what we're doing, or it's God just sent us through a test. There are many dear sick folk that go through a lot of problems in their life that I don't believe they brought on through sin. But I do believe, matter of fact, the Bible even talks about taking the Lord's Supper, which we did tonight, unworthily. That means with sin in our life. It says they even sleep. They die. There's a God involved in our lives. See, because if you don't get this point right, then the solution isn't the same. The solution, fixing the problem, isn't the same. If we caused it, there's something he wants us to do. Even still, if God is chasing us, whether it's through a test he's putting us through to see what our value is to him, or whether it's because he's punishing us or trying to correct us in some way, it's for our good, our benefit, and our joy, no matter whenever they come, for whatever reason. Next principle, ask the Lord's help in the problem. Are you still over at Job? Get your little dingy thing and flip over to Job. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Next principle, ask the Lord's help in the problem, the trouble. First of all, you need to find out, of course, is it correction or is it testing? That's where you'd be needing to ask the Lord for help. Look what it says in chapter 5, verse 8. I would seek unto my God. That's what Eliphaz told Job. And Job had been trying to do it. He hadn't got any message from God, but Eliphaz is saying, man, you got to get this figured out. Well, we do need to go to the Lord for our help. Psalm 23, 4, you know it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you know what the rod and the staff were used for? To correct, to gourd, to move sheep where they're supposed to be. The psalmist says, those tools that God uses in my life, they're for my benefit. They're to help me. Next principle, leave it in the Lord's hand. Once you go to God for help and you see the solution, you confess the sin that whatever He's trying to do, you still got to go through those troubles. It's still got to work its way through. You caused it, or whether or not it's God bringing a testing into your life, seeing what's you're made of, seeing to mold you, which we do with all our children, don't we? Don't we try to develop character in our children? We've got a Heavenly Father that tries to do that for us. Look at the same verse, verse 8. I would seek unto God. Now watch this. And unto God would I commit my cause. You got to leave it. Casting, 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Ladies and gentlemen, when troubles come into our lives and we try and seek the Lord's knowledge on why these troubles, that ought to be the first thing. Anytime something bad happens in my life, I immediately say, Lord, what is it? I always do. And when we seek it and we find and get things right about it, then you just need to leave it in the Lord's hand, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth to you. Then finally, final principle we see from this. Whenever troubles come into your life, and boy, they can be anything from a small thing, a child's trouble, all the way to a major thing. Get back to your regular routine. What you were doing before the trouble came, and watch God work it out. Just work it out. You remember when Jesus ascended to heaven? He left everybody. He's floating through the sky, and everybody's there with their jaw dropped down. What's going on? You would too. He's floating away. You know what they said? Why stand here, you gazing? Get on back and start doing what you were told to do. Get on to that upper room. Get there. Romans 5, Job 5, you're right there. Look at verse 8 and 9 again, though. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. This is a knucklehead, doesn't even know what he's talking about. But he's given us some biblical principles that we need to live by. Young people, what is it in school that you're having trouble with? Maybe God working. Adult, it may be an issue with a child you have in your home. Dad, mom, it may be that problem you're having at work. Maybe more than just some person you're working with. What are you going to do about it? I just gave you some principles. Look at here. Go to Philippians, would you? I want you to see this. And we'll close in conclusion. We already read it. Here's the conclusion to the matter. Be worried for nothing. Get past it. Get through it. Because we have a God that loves us. And I promise you that everything that comes into our life this year, the remainder of it, and the year to come, if it comes into our life, it's because God loves us. God loves us. Father, I pray you'd bless us. I know.